The more we know about God, the more we can trust Him.
The whole creation declares how amazing and awesome our God is.
This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education. Our guest is the author of a fascinating book entitled More Than Meets the Eye, Fascinating Glimpses of God's Power and Design. Dr. Richard Swenson has a degree in physics and a degree in medicine. Dr. Swenson, why did you write this book?
I wanted to counteract this idea that you can either be a person of faith or a person of science, but you can't be both. If you want to get involved in science, you got to get rid of your faith. If you want to be involved in faith, you got to sell your brain. That's just not true. You can couple both of those together. As a matter of fact, that's the most appropriate way to do it.
You cannot observe the human body and not think that there is a creator. It just goes hand in hand. If our blood vessels were tied end to end, they'd go around the earth 2.5 times. Unfortunately, we wouldn't be around to watch it because we'd be dead. But how do you get that? How do you get 60,000 miles of blood vessels?
Well, so you have capillaries that are so small that a red blood cell, a single red blood cell, they have to go single file through these capillaries. We're not talking about 60,000 miles of arteries and veins, but when you add in all of these capillaries, it really adds up. The white blood cells and the platelets were both born to die. They were born to lay down their life in defense of me and you. The white blood cell is ever on the march, vigilant, going around looking for enemies that are coming to try to come in and destroy the body. When the white blood cell sees that, they jump into the battle, and then you get swollen lymph nodes or you get a fever or something like that. And that's actually your white blood cells doing you a favor, laying down their life. The same with the platelets. They look for any kind of tear, any kind of hemorrhage, and they throw their tiny little bodies into that hole to try to plug it up.
That's fascinating. But just so that nobody misses how you wove the gospel into that story about the white blood cells, let me just repeat that. Next time you get a sore throat, think about the millions of white blood cells, the legions, like tiny soldiers in an army that are dying so that you might live. I think it's fascinating how you weave the gospel into the creation of the human body.
I do it, but God did it first. And I think He really wants us to see Him. When we look at the sunset, we look at the mountains, we look at the human body. You don't have to peer into a microscope and look out at distant galaxies. You just have to look in a mirror. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. It is a miracle beyond comprehension what God did when He made the human body.
Well, it really is. And when you think of the eye and how intricate that is, it's so amazing. And Darwin himself said, "The eye to this day gives me a cold shudder. To suppose that the eye, as complicated as it is, could have been formed by evolution seems, I freely confess, absurd."
And it should give him a cold shudder because it's quite a miraculous organ. The eye takes pictures continuously. What if Kodak sent you a bill for all of the pictures your eye takes and develops? What the retina of the eye does in 1/3 of a second, it would take a crazy supercomputer 100 years to do.
Ooh.
The same calculations, the same mathematical calculations. How in the world the eyeball just sort of popped out of nothing needs to be explained by those who don't believe God.
What fascinated me, you wrote in your book, on a clear dark night we can see a single candle flame from 30 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that.
I mean, it's staggering when you stop to think about it. The fact that God gave us color is a remarkable thing. Go out and look at the sunset tonight. If you had to pay rent for that, you wouldn't be able to afford the price.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, there's more here than meets the eye, that's for sure. And something about your book, just as the eye converts light into electrical signals to be seen by the brain, so the ear converts sound waves into electrical signals that can be heard by the brain. It doesn't take very much to move that little eardrum, does it?
Not very much at all. If the eardrum is vibrated less than the diameter of a hydrogen atom, you'll be able to perceive sound.
Wow.
You've hit on something that's very important for people to understand, and I'm not sure I completely understood it, even though I have a physics degree and a medical degree until doing research for this. Next time somebody across the room is talking, why can you hear what they're saying? We just take it for granted, and we say, well, there's this sound wave that propagates through the space in between. Yeah, but I mean, can you see the sound wave? How do you know there's a sound wave? What are the characteristics of that sound wave? How did God dream that up? And yet God permitted us to have this. And I think so much of this creation of the human body is because God's a relational God. He gave us a mind that can remember. He gave us a mind with the capability of language. And He gave us eyes so that we could relate to other people and that we could see Him in nature.
Yeah, He's so detailed. And you wrote in your book, the eardrum is so sensitive, it's possible to hear a cricket chirping 1/2 mile away.
Over there by that candlelight.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Well, also, both ears are needed to detect where a sound is coming from. In fact, there's so little difference in the time. time that the sound wave hits one ear than that it would hit the other ear, but that difference can help us in determining where the sound is coming from.
Yeah, people don't realize that. The ear can calculate the difference of receiving the sound in the right ear and then the time difference of receiving it in the left ear, and then by a difference between the receiving from the one side and the other side, you can pinpoint where the sound is coming from. That's really remarkable in terms of just the engineering that God put into place there.
It really is, and then to think how God had created music just so we could enjoy that, and if we didn't have hearing, we wouldn't hear it.
Absolutely.
Think of all the impulses that are coming into the human brain. I mean, they're all electrical. Some are smell, some are sight, some are hearing. The human brain is said by some scientists to be the most complex, orderly arrangement of matter in the universe.
It's amazing that the 3-pound brain, the most densely organized and complex matter that we'll ever discover, can do 10,000 trillion computations per second.
Wow.
And the fastest computer is an IBM computer that can do 12 trillion calculations per second, or in other words, 1,000 times slower than the human brain.
Well, in fact, you said in your book, the capacity of the brain is such that it could hold an equivalent information in 25 million books. So you are storing 25 million books worth, which is enough to fill a bookshelf 500 miles long.
Doesn't quite sound like us, does it?
No. Then why do we forget things?
Well, it's keeping track of so many other things. I mean, it's keeping track of how your kidneys are functioning and how your eyes are doing, keeping your heart moving. I mean, there's so many different issues that the brain is processing all the time, and it probably only fires at about a 10% firing rate.
And brainwaves really are things, aren't they? David wrote in the Psalms that God perceived his thoughts from afar, so these brainwaves can be used by paralyzed people to move their wheelchair.
There is the ability to pick up brainwaves outside the skull with this instrument that you were just talking about, where paralyzed people are able to think their wheelchair into different directions. Now, we're pretty early in the research on this, but at a very low level, there is some brain activity that does penetrate outside the bone of the skull and go at least out into the scalp, and they are thinking that eventually they will be able to have remote sensors away from the head and the hair where a person will be able to think, and that sensor will be able to pick up those thoughts.
Well, you said that God created us so that we needed sleep, but he could have created us so we wouldn't need sleep. Fish don't sleep. They don't even have eyelids to close. They just go to the bottom of the lake and stare at a rock all night.
Fish don't sleep. Giraffes have 10 minutes of sleep a night. Dolphins sleep with half a brain at a time. I'm glad that God put sleep in. We're not exactly sure why he did. It says in the Bible that he instructs us on our pillow. And creative people know that God does things during sleep. I mean, he often will organize thoughts. Creative ideas will come into our head during sleep. With REM sleep, your body is paralyzed, but your mind is hyper alert.
That's interesting.
And that's when you're dreaming.
Yeah, you know what's interesting too is, like you said, God designed us so when we're asleep, our minds may be active in dreams, but our muscles are paralyzed. Otherwise, we'd be running all over the neighborhood.
You wouldn't want to be doing that.
Although,
I can guarantee
what about
you.
Bob used to sleepwalk.
Yeah, it's true.
That would be what it would be like if God was not paralyzing our body during those dreams. Einstein slept as much as 11 hours a night. Now, I'm not suggesting that if we sleep 11 hours, we'll become an Einstein, but you know, he accomplished quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And sleep had a part, perhaps, of, I mean, maybe his brain was very tired after thinking the way he did.
When you consider that we were created and designed by a God who can count to infinity backwards and recite the Encyclopedia Britannica in every human language in a trillionth of a second, if we have trouble understanding that, we should reflect on the meaning of the words infinite and the meaning of the word sovereign. That's well written, Dr. Swenson.
Thank you. If we just stop in the midst of a busyness of life, just stop and think about God. Just think about God and trust. Then we will understand he can be trusted. He does have the precision and the power to help us out. And he says, don't fret. He said that in Psalm 37. He says, don't worry. He said that in Matthew 6. He says, don't be anxious about anything in Philippians 4. And the reason he said that is because he meant it. And he can back it up. What he wants us to do is trust him more, have faith in God's ability to help us out, and he indeed will come through and do that.
And don't think about God from a human perspective.
Oh, we do that all the time, don't we? He's got a white beard and he's really smart. You know, one day we will see face to face and we'll find out that our perceptions of God were very short-sighted.
How did the infinite God inhabit a finite physical body? You wrote, it would be easier to fit the Pacific Ocean into a thimble than for the infinite God to become Mary's little baby.
We know that God is powerful. I mean, that's clearly established. What we didn't know before is if God is loving. In other words, he's powerful, he's intelligent, he's brilliant, he's precise, but did he care about us? And we are very, very fortunate that God turned out to be a loving, gracious, merciful God. J.I. Packer says, Calvary is the measure of the mercy of God. Lay it to heart.
That is beautiful.
He hung on a cross. He died with nothing, but that power of sacrificial love lay it to heart.
What do you say to those people who say, I'd like to believe in your God, but I can't understand how God can hear the prayers of 10 million people all praying at the same time?
If God even operates in two time dimensions, that means he can stop going forward and take like a left-hand turn and walk down that time dimension. So God stops going forward in the time dimension and he takes a left-hand turn and he starts going in a second time dimension. He can go an infinite length of time in that second time dimension and not have progressed forward one half of a second. So there's a plane crashing. The pilot throws up a prayer a second before the plane hits the mountain, and God has an infinite amount of time to consider the answer to that prayer before the plane actually crashes. In the same way, God can have an infinite amount of time to listen to a billion people's prayer and still answer it right now, just right now. It's not a problem in physics, and it's not a problem really in theology. It's just a problem because we make God into some kind of a human.
That's
good. I was just going to say it is absolutely awesome when you think about the dimensions, because there is so much more. Like I thought of the Twilight Zone when I was reading your book. Remember that girl fell into the wall, and it's another dimension. It's like, think of what awaits us when you think of all the dimensions. Yeah. We're so limited.
We have the three spatial dimensions and the one time dimension, and actually all four of those are linked together all the time. Einstein proved that. In other words, you can't move in time without moving in space. You can't move in space without moving in time. But what if God were to open up like six spatial dimensions instead of three? What if he were to give us two time dimensions instead of one half of a one? Do you realize that we would have infinite capabilities if he were to do that? Just because there's three spatial dimensions and one half of a time dimension doesn't say anything that's binding upon God. He could have set it up any way that he wanted to.
When we understand how God is free from all our dimensions, it's easy to believe in miracles. Jesus disappearing after visiting the men on the road to Emmaus. Jesus walking on water or over water. Jesus walking through walls. It was really nothing. He simply rotated his body into another dimension beyond our three dimensions, and he could move through solid walls.
If people just understand the physics involved, and this is why part of the reason, again, to write this book is to open people's eyes that what we see is not the end of the story. There is more than meets the eye, I guess, to go back to the title of it. And we need to let God out of his box and understand God as he truly is.
How many dimensions does God inhabit?
Scripture says that God's a spirit, so it would appear as if God is dimensionless. God is a spirit, and so he seems to be everywhere. For example, when we pray, even if God is a half of an inch away, the speed of that prayer going a half an inch to where God's ear is would have to be an infinite speed, because God doesn't wait to hear my prayer. He hears it instantaneous. Does God hear my prayer inside my brain, inside myself? God is going to surprise all of us.
Well, you know what it says, in God we live and move and have our being.
Absolutely.
So in that sense, if you're praying, he's right there.
Absolutely. So where does God dwell? The entire heavens cannot hold him, the scripture says. And he's not far from any of us. Christ dwells inside of us. The Holy Spirit does. And this truth is more knowable than science is. The president of Harvard University Medical School said on graduation, says that 50% of everything we taught you is wrong. We just don't know which 50% it is.
What is outside the physical universe?
If you took a spaceship to the edge of the universe and then went through the edge of the universe and into the void, like, what would it be like? Well, it would be like nothing. I mean, the void, by definition, is nothing. Would it be dark and cold? Well, no, because darkness is a quality and cold is a quality, and there would be nothing. Our image of the void can never be empty enough. Maybe God dropped the universe into some other context that we don't understand, clearly understand, but only he knows at this point exactly where he put it and how he accomplished that, but it does speak to his enormous level of precision and strength.
Well, it seems like God created a universe that people will never see. God created things for himself, not just for people.
Sure.
Look at that with the fish. I mean, look at, there's beautiful fish way down at the bottom of the ocean. Nobody even knows they're there, some of them.
And his handiwork, you look at the flowers up in some mountains that nobody's ever been there. Little tiny flowers that are so delicate and so intricate and so beautiful and so perfect. And God created all that just because that's the kind of God he is. He is a God of order and beauty and precision, so he can't help himself but to create beauty. I mean, aren't you glad that the grass isn't like orange,
yeah,
and you know, the sky isn't really ugly or something? Everything that God touches works. You look at the mountains, you look at the ocean, it's always beautiful, it always works.
If you tried to imagine what it would be like to cross into eternity for just 10 minutes and sit in the presence of God, your life would change.
It would. Everything about your life would change. Every single thing. And that's what I encourage people to do. See more clearly who he is now, because we'll say, why didn't I trust more? Mm-hmm. What in the world was I thinking? It was in the scriptures, and it was there for us to see and behold, and yet we missed it. We just didn't pray and live in the light of that power and glory in a way that God really had invited us to all the time. Mary and Martha. Martha's very worried and upset, busy in the kitchen, and she wants Mary to come in and help her. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. Only one thing is needed. To Matthew 6, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. Only one thing is needed. What is the greatest commandment? The Bible is very focusing, and you put those in first in your life. And you know what? It isn't a boring life. It's glorious and full and joyful and full of contentment, because you get great joy out of doing simple things and following the example of the Savior.
That's well put.
Jesus was born with nothing, lived with nothing, said foxes have holes, birds have nests, the Son of Man has no place to put his head, and he died with nothing. He could have chosen anything he wanted to. He could have chosen any place to be born and any kind of setting, and that's what he chose. So simplicity is commanded by Scripture in Philippians 4, and Paul, chained in prison, says, I learned the secret to be content in any and every circumstance and situation. Hebrews 13:5, it says, be content with what you have, because God has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you.
Our guest, Dr. Richard Swenson, has degrees in physics and medicine. Dr. Swenson is the author of a fascinating book called More Than Meets the Eye, Amazing Glimpses of God's Power and Design.
God is infinitely bigger than the entire physical universe. Stop just a minute and think about that. He expands way over the physical universe. So what little problem do you have that he can't handle?
This earth is like a speck of dust in comparison to the universe.
Dr. Swenson wrote, one of these days, God will get up from the sitting room in heaven, walk across the floor, turn off the TV set, and when he does that, this present age will be over. Everything we know will disappear. This whole universe is like a tiny molecule on the throne of God.
He can be within me, suggesting thoughts, and at the same time listening to millions of prayers all over the world. This is a cut of our beloved pastor who is now in heaven, Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of Calvary Chapel and the Word for Today, and who initially helped us start Issues in Education 30 years ago.
God's divine creative genius, as we see it manifested in the plant life around us, just seeds themselves. To me, it's just a marvel. I look at that, I just am amazed of God's creative genius to put seeds within the fruit, then to perpetuate those trees by the seed. There are what they call the parachute seeds. The seed, wanting to spread itself out, blossoms out into a little parachute. And then it loosens itself from the plant, and when the wind comes along, it catches itself in the breeze, and the little seed is carried along by this parachute until the wind dies down. And then it falls, and then another dandelion grows a mile away. You have what they call propeller seeds. As they would fall, they were so designed with this little tail that they would spin as they fell, and they would spin out away from the tree, get far enough away so that they could have enough sun and all, so that when they landed, they could find a place to grow without being inhibited by the mother tree from which they spun away from. Then you have the hook seed. The seeds have put a little hook on themselves, and when you walk by, they hook themselves into your socks. And they take a free ride until you get home, and then you pull them off and throw them on the ground, and you help spread that little plant, because you're tossing the seeds on out into your yard now. There are seeds that affix upon themselves fast-drying glue, so that when you brush by them, they glue themselves to you. But once the glue dries, they fall off, and they've gotten a free ride, and you don't even know it. Of course, the coconut seed is interesting. It has built around itself a very tough and waterproof husk. And in the hurricane, it looses itself from the tree, it falls into the ocean, and is carried by the ocean to another island where the wave tosses it up on the shore, and there it gets covered with the warm sand, and as the sun begins to beat down on it, it begins to put its roots down. But because it's near the beach and the salty water, it could not survive. It has enough water built into itself so that the water supply within it feeds the roots until they get down deep enough to get their own water supply. And then, of course, it starts upward and you have another coconut tree. And the coconut has floated around the South Pacific and has spread itself around the islands of the South Pacific, just floating from one island to another and enjoying the surf. God's divine creative genius as we see it manifested in the plant life around us. All of this design, do you mean to tell me it just happened? It just accidentally came about this way? No, how can you have a design without a designer? That all witnesses really to the existence of God and His creative genius. I have here a watch that's a self-winding watch. And it really isn't that complex a mechanism. It's built to wind itself through the movement of my wrist. But do you know how this watch came into existence? It just so happened that there were some metals that were lying in the dirt, and people came along and kicked them and tripped over them and sort of pushed them together into an interesting order. And after being kicked around enough, one day it started to tick. It developed hands and a face. And after the last kick, I picked it up and put it on my wrist and been wearing it ever since. If you don't believe the story of my watch, how in the world can you believe the story of the trees or any form of life? That it happened through a processes of just fortuitous concurrences of accidental circumstances. The watch is a very simple mechanism. Your body is a very complex mechanism. You take any part of your body and it is far more complex than this dumb little watch. And if you can't believe the story about the watch, I find difficulty in believing the story that my whole body just happened to be kicked together by dirt and dust and finally formed its legs and face and eyes and nose and the capacities, the blood, and how that God created this bloodstream of ours and the shape even of the blood cell, all of the factors involved. What does it show? It shows design, it shows wisdom, it shows thought behind it. Maximum volume of blood with a minimum amount of friction. What is the perfect design for it? And so that the system can close behind it so that the blood doesn't go in reverse. As the ideal shape of the blood cell, exactly the way God created it when He created our bodies. Design, designer. In the beginning, God. And God brought together plant life, the seeds, fruit yielding seeds after their kind. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, the beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, beginning with the seas and filling them, and then the animals and the beasts upon the earth, and finally creating man, God's crowning achievement of creation. Because when he created man in his likeness and after his image, endowing us with some of the same capacities and characteristics that he possesses. Giving to us the capacity of loving, of knowing, of understanding. Giving us the capacity to know that He exists. Creating in us personality. Giving us the ability of speech and communication. And so we see the marvels of God's creation culminating in man.
That was Pastor Chuck Smith giving excellent examples of God's creative genius. Pastor Chuck is now celebrating in heaven with Jesus. When we see the intricate design and complexity and precision in the stars and in our bodies, we begin to have an appreciation for God.
God's power holds the stars in place, sets limits on the restless seas, and also holds my life in His almighty hands. And so we can trust Him. He will never cast us aside, but He has a profound love for each of us. Isn't that comforting?
It sure is. I mean, just think, this is an awesome God we serve. I mean, He's huge. He's vast. He created every single star up there and knows them all by name. You want proof for God's existence? Open your eyes. Earth and space and everything that exists is your proof. God gives us just a glimpse of His infinite creativity and endless power in what He has made.
But more than that, God's love is everything that is good on the earth. But the greatest love transcends all that He has created. It was love that brought Christ to earth to heal the sick and teach us what God was like.
And it was love that led Jesus Christ to pick up His cross and die the most cruel, horrible, torturous death that anybody has ever experienced.
But the incredible thing is that God's love is reaching out to each one of us right now. His love is saving those who choose to follow Him throughout this life and into His eternal kingdom called heaven.
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1910, God's Power and Design. That's number 1910, God's Power and Design. You can order a CD copy of this program or download a podcast from our website at issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Or for a copy of a CD, call us at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.